Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast on this 5th of November 2017 as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or go to Instagram and follow me at Little Gerald Quinn. I will get it out eventually. At Twitter at William Gerald or Instagram at Willow Gerald Quinn. A busy program in the next 45 minutes. Heavy NFL. And that's where we begin with the NFL and with the Washington football team who will be traveling, or they're already there, traveling to Seattle to face a Seattle team that's playing well right now. This, without question, is a crossroads game for Washington because they've dropped two in a row. They're banged up. We're already hearing talk, if they lose this game, the talk about Kirk Cousins and the future of Jay Gruden will just increase as far as whether or not either one of those men will be back next year, if not both, if not either, maybe neither of them, who knows? Depending on how the rest of the season goes. So, listen, I'm not one of these fans or personalities that's going to say it's a must win. They have to win. They got to, because if they don't, then they play next week and the season goes on. Like, it's not, to me, must win doesn't get to a point to where you are mathematically eliminated in terms of the playoff spot. That's a must win. So if Washington doesn't win today, they will not be mathematically eliminated from a playoff spot. Now, we know the division is basically a foregone conclusion as far as them not winning. That's not going to happen. That was over 2 weeks ago when they lost to Philadelphia on Monday Night Football. So that's done. But you still have a chance to salvage your season if you're Washington. You win today, you even your record, home game against Minnesota. Who knows who's going to be Minnesota's quarterback? Bridgewater could be back. We don't know how effective would he be. If he does come back, how effective will he be? Who knows? But, and then, you possibly can handle business and go into Thanksgiving night against the Giants at 5-4, possibly. Now, that's a lot. That's still two games away. But, again, there's a lot of football to be played. Still a lot to play for Washington. And, again, the Seattle team that they're playing well, but this is not a vintage Seattle Seahawks team. They are not a great defensive team. I know, listen, they lead the NFL in the most important stat, and that's points allowed. So that is the most important stat scoring defense. Forget about sacks. It is, turnovers is a big one, but points allowed is the most important one. They do lead the league in that, which is no surprise. They've led the league in that for 3 or 4 years. Maybe I think the Patriots were last year, but for the most part, in Seattle, 4 out of the last 5 years, or 5 out of the last 6 years, have led the league in points allowed defensively. This is not a vintage Seattle defense. You can run on this defense. You can make big plays over the top on this defense, especially today with Earl Thomas, who is still, arguably the best safety in football, being out today. The question is, will Kirk Cousins have enough time to make those big plays? And who will you be making those big plays to? Jameson Crowder is out. Jordan Reed is out. Miles Paul is out in terms of some of the offensive weapons for Washington. So, you think, I think the game plan to me, if I'm going into this game for Jay Gruden, is to run the ball, establish a run, really go out their way to establish a running game so they can set up some of that play action, which Washington does better as well as anybody in football. Kirk Cousins does as well as anybody in football, and that is complete passes on play action and run the play action and do the play action. So that to me is the game plan. Establish a running game. So you can set up some of that play action, take some shots to Dotson, some shots to Pryor. Pryor will have to be a factor in this game. We know he struggled over the past couple games, you know, with his confidence, with being, you know, he struggled with catching the ball throughout the course of the season. But he's going to have to play a role in this game with all the injuries. Ryan Grant, you expect to get some reps, some targets as well. But Dotson and Pryor are going to have to make plays. We know that Vernon Davis is more than a capable fill-in for Jordan Reed. Matter of fact, Vernon Davis has, you know, outperformed, has been maybe arguably pound for pound. Vernon Davis and Chris Thompson have been the Washington Redskins' two best receivers, which is a problem when you're backup tight end and you're change of pace third down running back are two of your best receivers, and it just shows you how inconsistent and how bad the receiving corps has been. But again, there will be some plays to be made against that Seattle defense. I've seen teams make big plays against them all season. Now, the question is, again, this is where the matchup is not good for Washington. Seattle, I've seen teams go up and down the field against Seattle, but not be able to score in the red zone at a high rate. Washington, we know, can get the ball in between the 20s. They're great, but we know once they get down there, they set up a lot of field goals. So that will be one of the major keys. Can Washington's offensive line hold up against a Seattle defensive line, which is still very good. Russell Wilson, again, this is not – Seattle has completely turned over the keys to Russell Wilson as far as this is his team. Offensively, they are no longer this power running team that tells Russell just don't make mistakes, make a couple plays, allow our defense to win it. This is not that team anymore. Russell Wilson is a very underrated, he's not underrated anymore. He's a great player, but this is completely Russell Wilson's show. He's on pace to throw the ball more than he's ever thrown it in his career in terms of pass attempts. They do not depend on their running game anymore. They have a mediocre running game at that. So they really depend solely on Russell Wilson to go out there and make plays to guys like Doug Baldwin and a couple of their other receivers who are, you know, decent players, not great, but decent players. Baldwin's become a borderline Pro Bowler. He's become that good of a receiver over the past couple of years. But Wilson is a guy who can scramble, but he's not looking to run. He uses his legs to extend plays to where he's always looking down the field to throw the ball, to make plays with his arm. He is not looking to run. He will run, but he is not – when he scrambles, when he gets outside of pocket or, you know, when there's some pressure gets to him, he is looking to the last second. That's why sometimes he takes a lot of sacks. He is looking to throw the football. So, again, I expect it to be a close game. I understand why the line is what it is at 8. That's a tough environment. That is a tough place to play. They've had one of the better home crowds, one of the better home records in the last, you know, in the Pete Carroll era, especially since 2012 in the Russell Wilson era. So, I think Washington will be in the game in the fourth quarter. The question is whether they're able to close out the game. Something to keep your eyes on is how Washington starts this game, how Washington starts out, how Washington comes out of halftime. We've seen them get off to fast starts in the first quarter, but coming out in the third quarter into halftime, coming out the locker room, they've struggled. Again, they've been outscored 75-39 in the second half. So we'll see what they can do coming out of the second half, coming out of the locker room. What, you know, the adjustments to the adjustments. That's what you're looking for. What adjustments do Gruden makes once, you know, teams or coordinators adjust to what they're doing offensively. So we'll see about that. As far as injuries goes, here's what it is with the Washington in terms of the injuries. Sean LaValle, Spencer Long, Trent Williams, three-fifths of the offensive line are out. Okay. Yeah, Paul Reed and Crowder out. You'll get Sheriff and Moses on the offensive line. Both of those guys are banged up, but they'll play. Clemens, Catalina, and Moulier will make up. Moulier, Sheriff, and Moses, that will make up the starting offensive line. D'Angelo Hall is back off the pup list, so he'll be a boost. Hopefully, be a boost to the secondary, which should be as healthy as they've been in the last month with Breland, Norman, and all those guys. Nicholson, all those guys will play. So the secondary should be solid at, with the secondary Swearinger and company. So they should be fine there. Rob Kelly will play today. Rob Kelly will play today. So he's on board. And of course, for Seattle, Earl Thomas and Joko, the guard is out. Of course, Seattle traded for Dwayne Brown to try to solidify their offensive line, but the big loss for them is Earl Thomas. And again, there should be some plays for Washington to make down the field. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the Short Joko Sports Podcast. 347-215-6180 is your call number. We'll be right back. Sports Podcast. I'm going to tell you what. The difference between losing an hour of sleep and gaining an hour of sleep is, I'm thinking about, you know, when we lost the hour back in, what was it, March? It was either late March or early April. I forget. They switch it, they change it every year in regards to daylight saving time. But, you wake up today feeling, I felt, look at the clock and like, whoa, so it's actually 7 o'clock, not 6 o'clock. It's actually 6 o'clock, not 7 o'clock. I mean, that's a big difference. That's a big difference comparisons to sometime to April or March, whenever you lose that hour, when you realize you've lost an hour of sleep, more daylight over the course of the day. But who cares about that? Just give me the extra hour. I'll take the extra hour. If it gets dark at 3:30, so be it. Just give me the extra hour. I woke up this morning feeling, you know, I got like somebody shot me up with some adrenaline or injected me with Red Bull. But today's headlines: some of the Cleveland Brown coaches, this is a shocker, believe that, or their reports, let me get this straight, because I have not been able to read quotes. Nobody came out and said anything to Hugh Jackson or any of his other assistant coaches. But there are reports that the Cleveland coaches believe that A.J. McCarron trade was sabotaged. Of course, they had a deal in place with Cincinnati that would have garnered them A.J. McCarron in return for a second and third round draft picks. Hugh Jackson, of course, worked with McCarron, Coach McCarron, when he was with when he was a coordinator, offensive coordinator with Cincinnati a couple of years back, very familiar with him, very high on him. That deal didn't work out because of some bumbling of the paperwork, not getting filed in time, which, you know, it's just, you know, typical Cleveland. Again, I can believe both scenarios. I can believe that deal was sabotaged and that the owners or the powers in the front office did not want to make that move. Or I can believe that Cleveland is inept to allow the deadline to pass I can believe both scenarios. So both are believable. The thing we do know that right now Cleveland is the worst franchise, not only in football, maybe in all sports right now. They are the worst Rushman franchise in all its maybe professional sports right now. Ezekiel Elliott's lawyers are trying to settle the case with the NFL, which would include a reduction of the suspension. Now, the NFL wants no part of this. Right now, Ezekiel Elliott is winning because he has not missed a game this year. He got another preliminary stay put on, granted, this past Thursday that guaranteed that he would play at least this week against Kansas City. Next week, it seems to me that everything is going to come to a head in regards to determining whether or not he's going to finish the rest of the season or whether this thing is going to carry on into the offseason. So next week, there may be a chance that you possibly get a final decision on this, back and forth seesaw that's pitted the NFL versus Ezekiel Elliott. Roger Goodell has been named to the latest list of deposed parties that will be a part of the Colin Kaepernick collusion case. That include Robert Kraft, Jerry Jones, and Bob McNair are included to a list that could be called in terms of testifying for this. Now, again, it's going to be almost impossible, despite the fact that Colin Kaepernick's lawyers are going after emails and text messages and things of that nature to try to prove that there was collusion against Colin Kaepernick not to sign him. Still going to be almost impossible to prove this case. If Colin Kaepernick does win this case, he could get up and could win in upwards of $36 million in terms of damages. But again, the smart money is on that the NFL probably is in decent shape with this. In regards to this case, it's going to be very difficult for the NFL to prove, or for Colin Kaepernick's attorneys to prove that he was colluded against, even though we know that he was colluded against, in terms of him not being signed for his stance against racial injustice, not the American anthem, the national anthem, racial injustice and equity. When we return, we'll come back with some college football, a wild day of college football, not a good day for the Big Ten. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of Sean Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast, as we discuss the world of sports. Big day in the college football, big night in the college football, kind of some elimination games we had. First, we got to begin with what happened in the Big Ten. I just can't explain. The Penn State-Michigan State does not shock me or surprise me. Penn State, you're on the road, bad weather, you get a 3.5 hour weather delay, there was some lightning. That kind of had the makings of an upset. And a Michigan State team that's playing better, that's ranked now, ranked 24th in the country, playing better. So that one didn't, I wasn't blown away by that. I didn't expect them to lose to Penn State. I didn't expect them to beat Penn State, but I wasn't blown away by that. What happened with Iowa and Ohio State is something that you just can't, it's unexplainable. I mean, for an Urban Meyer coach team, a Ohio State team, which is considered to have one of the best defensive lines in the country, one of the best defenses in the country, to give up 55 points, and good, if you can name one offensive player off Iowa's team, then you know what, you deserve a prize, because I don't know any of Iowa's offensive players of note. Okay, I watch college football all the time. They don't have big time players like that. They allowed them to put 55 against a Urban Meyer coach team. is just, it's mind-boggling. And clearly to me, when you look at both of those teams, Penn State and Ohio State, the after effects of that game they played last week were on display. Just that natural emotional letdown. You know, that game last week was one of the best games of the college football season with Penn State and Ohio State. It was a classic game, great fourth quarter. JT Barrett, as good as he was against Penn State, as great as he was against Penn State last week, he was horrible in this game, had four interceptions against Iowa. Again, anybody who's followed the Big Ten, who's followed college football, knows how tough Iowa can be for top five, top ten ranked teams on the road. Michigan found out the hard way last year when they were ranked either first or second. I think they were ranked number two last year going under that Saturday night game where they lost on the field goal. So it can be a rough place to play. We know that. Even going back to the Hayden Fridays, they've always played teams tough, solid defense, good offensive lines, well coached, and what have you. But I didn't see it coming at all. I fully expected Ohio State that would use that Penn State victory to kind of like regenerate their season, that they would be a major player moving forward for the playoffs. Now what this does to the Big Ten, and most importantly, Wisconsin. I mean, Wisconsin was hoping. If you were Wisconsin, you were hoping that you got either a one-loss Penn, that you were either going to face a one-loss Penn State or one-loss Ohio State team in the Big Ten championship to even have a chance at making the playoffs. Now you look at the prospects of facing you could face a two-loss Michigan State team in the playoffs, or you're definitely going to face a two-loss Ohio State team, probably a two-loss Michigan State or a two-loss Ohio State team. Either way, Wisconsin could go undefeated, okay, win out and not make the playoffs. That is absolutely on the table. They are a team that, based on their strength of schedule, based on they haven't beaten a ranked team this year, they do not control their own destiny, not even by a long shot. They're going to need some help from other teams losing, which tends to happen in the month of November. They're also going to need preferably Ohio State, because Ohio State has better opponents coming up. So Ohio State beats Michigan State, beats Michigan, who could be ranked by the time they meet in that Thanksgiving weekend, or that maybe the weekend after Thanksgiving. They better hope you have face a two-loss Ohio State team in the Big Ten championship and say Ohio State's ranked maybe in the top 10 possibly. They better hope that's the case for them to have any, and of course be undefeated, for them to have any chance of making the playoffs. Any chance. Because right now, again, Wisconsin does not control his own destiny, or Washington, a one-loss team who has one loss, doesn't control his own destiny. So those are the two teams that are going to be in the top. Probably when this ranking, when these polls come out, the college football playoff rankings come out Tuesday, those teams will be in the top 10, but they do not control their own destiny. When you look at the teams that benefited the most from yesterday, you have to point to Miami and Oklahoma. Oklahoma State game was a game where it was basically first and 60. I mean, neither one of those teams played any defense whatsoever. A wild game. Neither one of those teams. So Oklahoma State is out. They're out as far as the playoffs goes. Ohio State, Penn State are done as far as the playoffs goes. And Miami, which had an impressive victory against Virginia Tech 28-10, they basically, to me, control their own destiny. If they went out and take out Clemson in the ACC championship, they will be in the playoffs. If Oklahoma wins out, they will be in the playoffs. But again, Oklahoma still has TCU not once, but maybe even twice, depending on where they finish in the Big 12 standings. Remember, the Big 12 does have a championship game this year. So, in terms of teams that control their own destiny right now, you have Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Notre Dame, Miami, and Oklahoma. Those are six teams that control their own destiny for the playoffs. Everybody else is going to, namely Wisconsin and Washington, those one-loss teams are going to need some help. And I would say TCU. I would add TCU to that list because TCU has a tough schedule down the stretch. If they went out, they would more likely have to beat Oklahoma. Maybe have to beat Oklahoma twice. They will control their own destiny. So a wild night, a wild day in college football. Again, every year when the rankings first come out, you say to yourself, a lot of people come out and say, well, what if this team finishes undefeated? What if this team only finishes one loss? And, you know, some teams, you know, there are going to be a couple teams that get left out and get left out who deserve to be in. Well, there's always going to be one team that's going to complain. Whoever finishes number five in that final poll for the playoffs, when they're putting the playoffs on the side, is going to feel like they deserve to be in. That's all there is to it. So there's always going to be one team. But more times than not, this thing has a way of working itself out with these upsets. These teams, the pressure gets to them. November, especially these road games, these rivalry games, those teams, they knock off each other and make it a lot easier for the committee to choose four teams. Next week, you will have, in essence, an elimination game, in my opinion, with Miami hosting Notre Dame. I do think Miami has the athletes to slow down that Notre Dame running attack, which is just out of control right now. I mean, they just piled up large, 700 total yards of offense, had about, 40 yards rushing. That Miami defense is for real. They do have the athletes that I think can contain that Notre Dame rushing attack, but we'll see in which we'll go back to a old school rivalry. Jimmy Johnson, Lou Holtz, convicts versus, Catholics versus convicts. That was a term that Notre Dame gave back in the late 80s, early 90s when those teams used to go at it routinely. So we'll see another chapter in that rivalry come next Saturday night. 347-215-6180 is your call number. It's the latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We will be back with much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. NFL injuries as far as NFL picks as well. We'll be right back. Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour on the space edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. I saw clips of the Saturday Night Live. There's going to be some talk about or little mini controversy about what Larry David said, but the Alec Baldwin Donald Trump bit, like he's become Donald Trump. Like he's from a standpoint of being from a caricature, not the Donald Trump, the actual Donald Trump. But then, you can't imagine anybody being able to pull that off the way Alec Baldwin pulls that off. Is it out of the realms of possibility that Trump would do something like that? Like have that? Would that be if you found that out to be true? When Trump has a guy, if you know what I'm talking about, if you didn't see it, but Trump had a guy in the shower. Yeah, nothing sexual, of course, but a guy in the shower basically because he was fearing that he might be wearing a wire. Would that be out of the realms of possibility with Donald Trump? If you saw that virally and those reports came out, would you be shocked? Would anybody be shocked by that? But Saturday Night Live going after Trump, going after Harvey Weinstein and what have you. So listen, comedy, there's nothing. With comedy, everything is on the table with comedy. It's going to be controversial. You may not like some of the stuff, but that's comedy. As regards to, we talked about some of these injuries that continue to rack up in the NFL. So this week you learned that two of the brightest stars, young stars in the game right now, one, Deshaun Watson and Andrew Luck, are done for the season. Now, this is a difference, as those two teams will face off today, as one of my NFL picks, just give you a little preview on that. This is the difference with the injuries and with the situations. So, Andrew Luck, I haven't thought that Andrew Luck is going to play wasn't going to play basically for a month now. Like when he was ruled out at the beginning of the season, he'll miss a couple of games. But he got to like week three, week four. He got to the point where he's like, this guy's not going to play. He's been advised with his shoulder to take some a couple months off, not throwing. You know, we may never, it's not out of the realm of possibility that we may never see Andrew Luck reach his full potential. Again, this guy came to the league as one of the great quarterback prospects. Some think the best quarterback prospect since John Elway. Even better than Peyton Manning. People, the scouts liked him better even as much as they did Peyton Manning, not more than Peyton Manning coming out of college. Deshaun Watson, now there are reports that Deshaun Watson's injury could have occurred against Seattle. Either way, he tore his ACL in practice on Thursday, non-contact action. A lot of these injuries come with non-contact, with these knee injuries in particular. So a guy who is without question going to be the rookie of the year, and who, if Houston had won a couple more games and gotten over 500, could have been with a guy, maybe even some MVP consideration. That's how well he was playing. He's done for the season. Hopefully he'll be ready. He'll be ready for OTA's training camp come next season. So two major injuries in terms of quarterbacks. You already have Aaron Rodgers out until who knows when. Not what the NFL needs, having this signal callers go down and prominent quarterbacks go down at that. Other injuries around the league, Pierre Garçon has been placed on IR. Joe Staley is done for this week for San Francisco. Delanie Walker is out this week. Delanie Walker is one of the most underrated players in the league. He's been great for like the last 3 years for Tennessee. That's a big loss for them. Ryan Khalil and John Theus on that opposite line for Carolina as they have a showdown with the Atlanta Falcons this week. And also Brett Grimes is out as well. Emmanuel Sanders and Jay Cutler will play as far as guys who will suit up and play this week. So a number, again, the injuries keep piling on for these teams around the league. But again, none bigger than Deshaun Watson. I got the sense that people around the league thought that Luck over the last couple weeks probably wasn't going to return to the season, especially on a 2-6 football team. There was no reason to bring him back, but the Deshaun Watson injury is a season killer. Now you have to return to Tom Savage, and when it occurred is even worse. It happening on a Thursday where they couldn't even get the game, where you basically can't even get the game plan switched around to suit what Tom Savage does well, and you know, because remember, NFL teams, these game plans are put in Tuesday or Wednesday at the latest. These game plans are put in, so Thursday, it's not even about the game plan. Like you're trying to, you're tweaking some things, you're doing some run throughs, walkthroughs, just like your game plan is solidified by Thursday. So we'll see how Houston responds immediately to just a devastating blow for their franchise. Bad franchises like the sports guys give it, they take it away. One day, Houston, the Astros win a championship, and then a couple of days later, they lose Deshaun Watson. When we return, we will have NFL picks for week number 9. We'll be right back. On this latest edition of the Serial Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We are it's amazing. November 5th, just less than 3 weeks away from Thanksgiving. And the holiday season is in full gear. As you're already hearing Christmas Day, Christmas sales and things. Soon you'll be hearing about Brown Monday. In terms of these Amazon sales, Cyber Monday, I should say. Really, Cyber Monday, so in terms of these sales that you'll be hearing about for the Christmas season. So we know November's here. The year's almost done. Soon, before you blink, it will be 2018. Week 9 picks. Just 3 games this week. Cincinnati. I have Cincinnati at Jacksonville. Cincinnati is a 6-point underdog. Jacksonville, of course, and this was announced about maybe an hour or so ago, a couple hours ago, that Leonard Fournette will be out due to breaking a team rule, violating a team rule. Who knows? It could have been a curfew. Could have been late to practice. Who knows? I don't think it's something that will stretch out past this game, but he violates a team rule. They're running a tight ship there. Right now, Jacksonville playing well. Their defense is one of the best in the league. They're, being called the Saxonville Jaguars, as they, they've been tremendous on with that defensive line, with that secondary. 6.5 is a lot, though, for a team. Listen, Cincinnati's defense doesn't have to take a back seat to too many defenses around the league. They play well as well. They play well over the course of the season. Their trouble has been with turnovers and erratic play from Andy Dalton, and also a lack of a consistent running game. I think this game will be a close game. I can see this game being a field goal. I would not be surprised if Cincinnati takes out Jacksonville. Remember, Jacksonville's home field advantage is not that. They really don't have that home field advantage. They don't have a great crowd. That stadium is not, it's one of the reasons why you've seen Jacksonville getting embarrassed, do some home games this year that you just shake your head at. It's not a great home field advantage. I will take Cincinnati with the points. Jacksonville wins the game, but Cincinnati will cover, take Cincinnati with the points. Indianapolis at Houston. Houston is a 7-point favorite. Again, these are divisional rivals. These are teams that know each other well. I just don't think you lose your starting Pro Bowl caliber quarterback, franchise quarterback, on a Thursday and completely mentally recover from that on a Sunday. I think Indianapolis will win this game. Not only will they cover, I think Indianapolis will just outright win this game and upset Houston. It's not so much, obviously it's a big blow to the franchise in terms of for the future of this, for the rest of the season. But again, this injury happened on a Thursday, and there's not a lot of prep time for Tom Savage to get ready for this game. I think Indianapolis, despite their record, they have played hard this season for Bogdanov, though that will not make a difference because he will not be back next year. You will see Indianapolis make a hard push. I'm telling you right now, for Harbaugh out of Michigan, I guarantee you, he will make a hard push. They will make a hard push for Jim Harbaugh coming out of Michigan to get him, lure him from Michigan to coach Andrew Luck. So I will take Indianapolis outright to win. Dallas at Kansas City. 2.5. Again, that game is a toss-up game. That game is a toss-up game. I think Kansas City will contain Dallas' running attack. I've not been as impressed with Dallas as everybody's making them out to be over the last couple of weeks. Who have they beaten? Give me the impressive Dallas victory during this streak. Of note. I'm waiting. So I'll take Kansas City in this game. I know Kansas City's defense can be shaky at times. I think this will be an offensively dominated game. I will take Kansas City with the points and outright to win this game. So Jacksonville, Cincinnati, take Cincinnati with the points. Indianapolis to outright upset Houston, and I will take Kansas City over Dallas. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. correction on the Dallas game. The Dallas game actually is in Dallas. That game is in Dallas. Dallas is a 2.5-point favorite, which shows you that they, you know, that basically is our pick on, because 3 points is all the home teams don't normally automatically get 3 points. So I'm still taking Kansas City regardless. I'll take Kansas City to outright with the points to outright to win the game and to outright win the game in general. So that doesn't change my pick at all. But just as a, you know, just as a just a correction, that game is in Dallas, not Kansas City. I will take Dallas. And of course, Ezekiel Elliott will play. I will take Dallas take Kansas City to outright win that game. So Friday night in D.C., went out, hung out with some friends, chilled, you know. I get home, and I didn't see the game. I get home, and, you know, I saw the final score of the Wizards-Cavs game, and 130-122, so nobody, neither one of the teams played defense that night. And he looked, and, you know, to my, you know, not being shocked whatsoever, LeBron James drops 57-11-7 on the Wizards. He's had some historical games for him on the Wizards in terms of points, assists. He's been killing the Wizards since he got into the league. We can go back to the playoffs in 2006, the Damon Jones shot, the whole, like, you know, the, you know, talking to Gilbert Arenas, and Gilbert Arenas missing a free throw at the end of that game six. So he's tortured the Wizards forever. He's tortured a lot of teams. He's LeBron James. But, you know, the Wizards, for a team that hasn't advanced past the second round since they won the championship back in 1978? Yeah, since they won the championship in 78. The Wizards do more talking than just about any team in the league. I mean, you know, coming at the Cleveland Cavaliers, and it's not so much Cleveland actually pays, you know, LeBron or Tyronn Lue or whoever actually pays attention to what they say. You know, you could say, well, LeBron was motivated. LeBron has a lot of motivation. LeBron has motivations that go beyond the words of Bradley Beal and the rest of the Washington Wizards. Trust me, LeBron is, the Wizards are not even on the radar of the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're not. I mean, Cleveland is not looking at the Wizards as a team that can even be a pebble, you know, in their way. Like they don't care about the Wizards. And trust me, they care less about the Wizards. They care less about the Washington Wizards. I just find it, for a team that hasn't won, forget about championships, but for a team that has not made it past the second round, I mean, just let's calm down on the Cleveland Cavaliers talk. Let's calm down. They were avoiding us. We're the best team in the East. And again, you love Bradley Beal, Brad, because even after the game, Bradley Beal was still, you know, still stood by his words. And by the way, he's played great against the big games. He's averaging, I think, the last three games, he's averaging like 34 points a game. And it's proved to be a big game player in the playoffs. Bradley Beal, you know, he brings his A game when it counts the most. He's played great, had a great game starting against Boston last year. But leave the Cavaliers alone. There's no, you're not, you know, we're talking about a team that's been in the finals three straight years. Team with an iconic player on it. You as a franchise, in terms of Washington Wizards, are just trying to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, that's the goal. I mean, forget about championship. Forget about NBA Finals. You are trying to get yourself to a position where you are competing, where you are possibly facing the Cleveland Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference Finals, which is a possibility. It's not, even though now Boston had a big week this week. How long they can keep that up, we'll see. But Boston had a big week, especially with wins over San Antonio and OKC. Especially the OKC one was very impressive, coming back from 18 in OKC on Friday night. But the Eastern Conference outside of Cleveland is wide open. So Wizards, you know, maybe to a lesser extent Toronto. Who knows who's going to be that second team? I would lean towards Boston, but you know the Wizards will be in the mix. But enough of this coming out to Cleveland. Enough of this coming out to Cleveland Cavaliers. Just leave Cleveland alone. I mean, it's 57-11-7, 130 points. on, you know, in your home gym. You know, it's time to let the dogs lie. If you are somebody in that Washington Wizards locker room. 347-215-6180 is the call number. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Sir Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. I will see you next time. So long.